Our lesson this morning comes from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and then skipping down to verses 13 through 25. Hear God's word. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit that is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. May God give us understanding of His holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Do you ever feel like the world seems out of control? Like there is just so much craziness that you can hardly even keep track of it all? And it seems to be just getting crazier all the time, doesn't it? I came across this thing today that really touched a nerve, and I wanted to share it with you. It talks about how only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. Yeah. And this hit a nerve yesterday when I had to stop in the drugstore. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, right? While healthy people can buy their cigarettes and their candy bars in the front. What's with that? That's not right. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and you know what's coming, right? Diet Coke. You got it. You got it. Only in America, and this one hurts. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put what in our garage? Junk. Yeah. Yeah. What, it's just Tim and me? Okay, now I feel humiliated. But we have a plan. We're working on it, right, honey? Yeah. Here's another one. Only... I beg your pardon? Oh, our neighbor, you're telling about the neighbor who has a dumpster?
No, I'll say that's what our plan is. Oh!
I thought maybe they might have invited us to share. Okay, here's another one. Only in America do we use answering machines to screen calls, okay, and have call waiting so we won't miss a call from someone we didn't want to talk to in the first place, right? And finally, okay, and this is coming up as we plan for our picnic next week. Only in America do we buy hot dogs and packages of 10 and buns and packages of 8. We're crazy. were absolutely insane. And I found another list that was a little similar, although a little bit more serious. We spend more, but feel like we have less. We buy more, but we enjoy less. We've got bigger houses, but smaller families, more conveniences, but less time. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've learned how to make a living, but not how to make a life. We've added years to life, and not life to our years. And why is that? Why is that? You know, one of the things I hear about all the time is people wanting to keep their independence, wanting to stay free. And in fact, a lot of times, one of the reasons why people will even avoid the church is because the church is seen as imposing all these rules on people that will rob you of your fun. Do you ever get that from people? They wonder why you go to church, and they question the whole reason, even why, about church. Oh, those are those stiff, strict people who never have a good time. You never, the frozen chosen, right? Serious, real serious people. And you know what? If that's how people are seen as Christians, and if that's how we are living as Christians, we're totally missing the boat. We're totally missing the point of why Jesus came for us. He didn't come to rob us of our joy. Rather, these things that we realize about our lives that are all backwards, He came to free us from that. He came to give us a new way of seeing life, a new way of seeing the world, so that we could have joyful lives, so that we could live happily together. But instead, what happens, unfortunately, is that all of us, whether we're in the church or not in the church, have a tendency to misunderstand what that freedom really is. And we have tendencies to be tempted to misuse and abuse that freedom. And that ends up hurting all of us. All of us. There was another very, very odd story that I came across this week. And this gentleman by the name of John B. Jameson, he tells about a new pastor that's coming into a church. And she goes in and she gives her sermon. They have the service and everything seems to go really well. She likes it. There seemed to be a good group in the congregation. And then at the end of the service, as we typically do, you know, she's at the door greeting people as they leave, saying hello. And this funny thing was going on. He says, there was a man in line who was very kindly looking. And she remembered him because he really seemed to be paying close attention to her sermon. He was frequently nodding his head yes, smiling just at the right times as she made her points. And he walked up to her, he took her hand, and he shook it, and then he bit her in the arm. And she's going, okay, I don't know what happened there, but okay. And then there was someone else who came through, shook it, said hello, commented on the sermon, and then bit her on her shoulder. And she's thinking, this is really, really weird. This was in front of God and everybody, and no one seems to be paying too much attention. No one seems to even notice. But this continues as people come out. You know, some just shake hands and say nice things, and then others bite her. And she's going, what the heck is going on? Well, the next night, there's a meeting. Okay, they've got the equivalent of the session. They're all around. There's about 25 members, and they have a council leader who's there. He introduces her. She notices that on the table, there are all these big boxes of Kleenex. And she wonders about it. And the discussion starts. She gives the opening prayer and says amen. Everybody nods their heads, and then somebody leans over and bites her on the neck. Well, this biting continues going on, and she starts noticing around that all the people there have these scars different places. And the council leader himself is missing a thumb and a couple of fingers. And they've got crutches. And It goes on and on, and so finally she stands up and she says, "What the heck is going on here?" And so the council member there, you know, he turns to her and he goes on to explain that sometimes even church people have disagreements and that they really do love each other and just want to help each other do the right things, but that sometimes, you know, things don't always go smoothly. And as he finished that, somebody leaned over and bit him, and somebody else handed him a Kleenex to stop the blood. The point, as you might imagine, that was trying to be made in this rather insane story is that we like to think we're good people, don't we? And yet even we in the church have disagreements and are continually hurting each other, whether intended or not intended. And we can use our freedom in ways that are not helpful at all. I would imagine that there's not a person in this room who has not been hurt at some time by another Christian. Is there anyone? Not one hand going up? I know that it was Christians that kept me out of the church for many years. I kept saying, you know, I love God, it's the Christians I can't stand. They're driving me crazy. I think I may have shared with you one time a roommate at the Haddon College that was a born-again Christian that had a very rigid idea of what being a Christian was, and she was determined that she was going to inflict it upon me. And she did. She invited me to supposedly parties that ended up being prayer meetings where all the people there would gather around me to pray for my sinful ways. And you know what my sinful way that they were praying about was? I had the audacity to be dating a Jewish boy. Yeah. And they were praying for my healing. Now, I had an interesting conversation this week with someone who said that they struggled with Christians and others, all these supposed nice people. And he said, you know, there's no such thing as a nice person. People do nice things because they want to be thought of as a nice person. But they don't do it because they're really nice. And that hurt me. And it hurt me in part because part of what Jesus offers us is the most beautiful, most joyful experience in the world. And that is giving of ourselves in service to other people. It's not about being a nice person. Yeah, I think we all like feeling good when we've done something that we know is right. There's a joy and a pleasure and a satisfaction of doing the right thing and of being generous and of being kind and of being caring. But to do it just so people think of you as a good person? I want to go on record right now and say, I am not a good person. That doesn't mean I'm not trying all the time, but I know that as a human being, I continue to mess up. And in spite of my good intentions, I continue to hurt people. And if I ever hurt anyone in this room, I pray that you will tell me, because that's the last thing that I ever want to do. But by the same token, in my journey, and the reason why I'm here, and the reason why it's so important to me to share with you each Sunday morning is because God gives us an amazing gift. Each time we understand and draw closer to peace, to joy, to genuinely loving other people, caring for other people, when we choose to be gentle instead of having our way, when we choose to forgive rather than to seek justice with anger, when we choose those things, it not only has a ripple effect that impacts other people, but it can give us a joy and a peace that comes no other way. One of the things that concerns me about our kids growing up is that a lot of them, from the reading they've been doing, really don't have a sense of empathy. A lot of them are just kind of doing their own thing, centered in their own little world, and they have no real awareness of other people and other needs. Everything is focused from their own lens of the world and what's going to benefit them or what's going to hurt them. And they're literally, there are studies and statistics out there, and they say that, you know, the kids think it's okay. I think I might have mentioned this last week. The kids think it's okay if other people want to help people, but they don't see any real need to. Can you imagine what kind of world this could become if people, human beings, change so they have no feelings for others? If they misinterpret freedom to mean that they can do whatever they please, whenever they please, and that everything should be geared according to their comfort, their satisfaction? Can you imagine? It's one of the reasons why I've been so passionate about helping out with Family Promise, with our families. And one of the dreams that I had was that this would be an opportunity for our church family in multiple generations to help these families and as a way to give our children a sense of compassion and empathy. Because everything I hear and know is that when kids have a chance to be put in those situations where they're helping someone else, where they're really there in the trenches, it changes them. And they get it. But if they don't have those opportunities, and everything in our world is sort of stealing that away from them, when they don't have those opportunities, they miss out. Now, either someone's stomach is growling really loud, or do we have a critter?
No, anyway.
It's your stomach?
It's Robert's phone.
It's Robert's phone. Okay. Well, I feel relieved. But stomachs probably are growling, so we're going to wind things up. Nothing is ever as you planned, right? But you understand what I'm saying. We have an incredible gift in our lives if we embrace it. God has given us real freedom. If we can understand and if we can somehow see the difference between a freedom that is really freeing, a freedom that's not just for us but for all of us, versus a selfish, do whatever you please thing that is lifted up as fake freedom. My prayer is that all of us will take what God is calling us to and embrace it. That we will be a people who live in peace, who live in joy, and who are constantly seeking to live out God's commandment to love one another. Let us pray. Almighty God, this world is a crazy place, and yet you give us a compass. You give us truth. You give us a vision of how life can be. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength and the wisdom and the willingness to follow where you lead. In your name we pray. Amen.